Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servadidio, and I am your host tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, I have another amazing episode of Insight into Healing, a very powerful guest, Mel Novak. Mel Novak is a dedicated soldier for Christ. He's an ordained minister called by God to share the good news of Jesus Christ and salvation to the homeless on Skid Row in prisons. For the past 31 years, Mel has faithfully ministered on the streets of L.A. and in the chapel services at the Union Rescue Mission, Fred Jordan Mission, L.A. Mission, and the Long Beach Rescue Mission. Mel has also ministered in penitentiaries for 28 years from San Quentin and Pelican Bay in California to New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Florida, Alabama, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, Washington, and Oregon. If that's not enough, Mel Novak is an American award-winning character actor who is best known for his villainous roles in Black Belt Jones, Bruce Lee's Game of Death, and Chuck Norris in Eye for an Eye. He's also known for doing all of his own stunts and fighting scenes. Well, welcome, Mel. Thank you so much for coming tonight and joining us.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited about being on, and forgive me because I got mixed up on my times here in California. It's 3 hours difference, and but if we're here, and praise the Lord, and looking forward to this show and many others that you would want to do.
Yes, definitely. Reading your biography is just so amazing. To start with the ministry, and to also you go to all these penitentiaries. How did that start? How did you get involved in that?
Well, actually, at the Union Rescue Mission, I was invited there as a celebrity. So I've done these movies, and they found out that I was a Christian. So I did they had an Easter sunrise service, and I'd done a prayer and whatnot. So the executive director there was watching me. I had 25 street people around me, and you know, being in the movies was like a carrot. It drew people. But I don't talk about movies. I preach Christ crucified, and I back every single word up with a verse of scripture of God's word. So he was watching me for like an hour, and he says, "That was amazing." He said, "They don't listen to anybody." Anyway, he said, "Would you like to do a service?" Yes. Then the L.A. Mission heard about me. And then at the L.A. County Jail, there was one of the guys in a spiritual growth program just got out of L.A. County Jail, which is the worst jail in the country. And he called the chaplain, who was an ex-convict, but he loved Bruce Lee. "Hey, you need to have Mel Novak come over there. He fought Bruce Lee in a Game of Death." So I started at the L.A. County Jail, and then Chaplain Mark, myself, another pastor, and another ex-mafia guy, we went back to Rahway, New Jersey, and penitentiaries in New York and Pennsylvania, and God just kept opening doors to places that were close to most people. And like Isaiah 6:8, God said, "He's going to go for me." And he knew a long time ago, "So I'll go, Lord." And penitentiaries have been opened up all over the country, 12 different states. And on Skid Row, they call me the mayor of Skid Row. They all know me. I'm down there all the time, not just once in a while. I average 25 services in August and September, 24 in June and July. It's been hectic, but, you know, we're spiraling into the end times, and it's a calling. Usually a person is called at the Skid Row ministry or a prison ministry. Well, God chose to do both of them because in my life, as we'll talk, I've been broken several times. I should have died 6 times, and I never, ever did drugs or alcohol. Had nothing to do with that. I've had 27 surgeries. I've been crippled from professional baseball. I was signed with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and my real name is Milan Mrjanovic. I'm Serbian. And so even as a believer, Alexa, Psalm 34:19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers out of them all." It doesn't say when. Every message I give, Luke 18:1, don't give up. Keep on praying. Whoever's listening, no matter what you're going through, don't give up. Keep on praying. God hears every single prayer of yours. Proverbs 15:29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked." That's the ones that Christ rejects. He hears the prayers of the righteous. But, you know, we're tested. We're tested a lot. God never tempts us, James 1:13. We're tempted by our lust in verse 14. But testing is important. Proverbs 17:3, the refining fire is the silver, the furnace is the gold, but I, the Lord, test the heart. See, God knows our heart, Luke 16:15. But that's where the devil strikes, our mind, our heart, and emotions. And that's why, you know, your program is so, the insight to healing. God is a God of healing. But we got to wait upon His timing, not ours. And He's not some bellhop, yo, God, I need to do it right now. This, we live in a microwave generation, and this is not how it goes. And it's like faith, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust Him. Am I going to trust Him? Mm-hmm. See, I did that when I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. When that doctor told me that, I says, wow. 2 seconds later, I says, well, praise the Lord. Now, he thought something was wrong with me. But for everybody out there, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. In everything. And mm-hmm. It is an amazing thing. Your faith just increased. In Luke 17:5, we're to increase our faith. But healing is crucial for someone to believe. And, you know, what's the devil's number two tool behind fear? Doubt. You're going to whisper doubt. But there's different kind of healings, as you know. And
yes.
Whatever ones you want to talk about or whatever, let's, you know, I'm here for you, and I'm blessed to be here.
Yes, we were speaking before the show about different arsenals, about an arsenal for us to have as believers, for the listeners to fight this spiritual warfare, and then also the
yes.
arsenal, the devil that the enemy has. And sometimes people don't grasp it or they don't think about it, but I think it's really interesting for our listeners to hear about the two arsenals, and you really were describing them so well that for our listeners to understand. So I was wondering if you can kind of just speak a little bit about our arsenal of spiritual warfare and then also what the enemy, the devil, puts up and what his
yep.
arsenal is.
Oh, yeah. Now, you can go to my website, www. And it's M-E-L-N like North, O-V like Victory, AK.com, MelNovak.com. You go to the warfare section, and it's God's arsenal. I've given over 120,000 of these. People are downloading it all over the world. Because, you know, I've been doing the Omega Man radio show 2.5 hours, like, all over the world. And pray it daily, because it is a command to pray your whole armor. It's not a request. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord, power of His might. We have no power aside from the Lord. He says in John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. I learned that. And verse 11 shows the enemy, all of us have, you listening, Lexa, myself, everybody. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the dark of this world, against spiritual wickedness, divisions of demonic powers who are organized, who have one focus, to rob you, kill you, destroy you. That's John 10:10. But Jesus says in verse B, I came that you might have life, to have it more abundantly. But it takes prayer. Prayerlessness is powerlessness. Prayer will invade the impossible. In Luke 1:37, nothing's impossible with God. Nothing's too hard. Jeremiah 32:17-27. So you pray that daily. You pray for your children. I have inmates all over the country praying. It's helped them. It is amazing because it's all of God's word. The Holy Spirit gave that to me. And you're putting mm-hmm. on, when you have your whole armor, you're putting on the helmet of salvation. Well, where's the devil's playground? The mind. You're putting on the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:5. Arm yourself with the mind of Christ, 1 Peter 4:1. Then you're putting on a breastplate of righteousness. Well, Isaiah 64:6 says, male's righteousness is like filthy rags. But when we come to Jesus, God looks at us through the eyes of Jesus and through His precious blood. And it says, put on a girdle of truth. You know, the Roman soldier had a leather girdle that had metal, so if he's battling, the sword's not going to go through. We're putting on the truth, integrity, and holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sandals of gospel of peace. Prince of peace, King of kings, Lord of lords, Rock of Judah. I got to stand on a rock because Jesus is my Lord. And then it says, put on the sword of the Spirit. That's God's holy word. It's alive and powerful, sharpening two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12. You've got to spend time in the word. spend time with him. Find the I wills in the Bible. There's like 1,500 of them. And I take my sword of the Spirit and I spring any trap the enemy sets against me. And all those tentacles of curses, word curses, family generational curses, witchcraft, the occult, cut them off in the name of Jesus and cover it with the blood of Jesus. Then it says, above all, verse 16, above all, put on your shield of faith to quench every fiery dart. Well, when this started, when I started out ministry, it was darts and arrows, then spears, now it's missiles. I mean, my shield got dense, but I put it up every day, every single day. Why? So we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Paul tells us three times, Ephesians 6, 11 through 17, that we're to stand. He only had to tell me once, but he said three times. That's how important it is. Don't give up. Keep on praying. Doubt is the killer to faith. And So when you get ministry, you need to, on that my website, you have an after ministry prayer, because there are spirits of retribution, revenge, retaliation, backlash. In the prisons, I'm going down a highway and I'm binding up hepatitis, TB, staph, MRSA, pink eye, transferring, familiar, migrating spirits, just chemical warfare against our body, contaminants in the air. I mean, it is amazing the thing that's going on in the spirit of infirmity with Jesus' name in Luke 13, verse 11 through 13. These are demonic attacks on people's body. And the devil has an arsenal, too. This is why you see people commit suicide because of depression. Well, if you go back, what happened? Well, they made it somewhere. They got a letter, a phone call, whatever, disappointment. I call it the deadly D's, D like David. Disappointment, discourage, and devil's most worn out tool, very effective and destructive. Doubt, the killer to faith. It's like a sledgehammer that will crush your faith. Discontent, that's a spiritual germ. Hebrews 13:5, be content with what you have, will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, I got to be content because of my Lord. If all I have in this world is eternal life, I'm going to be content with that. When despair comes in, that person's in trouble. They stop everything. Despair, despondency, disillusionment, demoralization, dejection, depression. Depression is real, but it comes from the devil. And people start hearing that voice. I mean, there's people who attempted suicide and didn't make it. So someone called me and they had a gun, and I went over there and I took that gun and I bound those spirits up in the name of Jesus. And she was hearing, you may as well check out. It'll be easy. No problem. You see, the devil doesn't tell you. You're going to be in, your spirit and soul will be in Hades, in Luke 16, 9 through 31. And then you will end up at the great white throne judgment where Jesus is the judge, Revelation 20, 11 through 15, and the lake of fire. There's heaven and there's hell. It's a choice. Now, another thing the devil will use is anxiety, worry, fretting, stress, and tension. Anxiety is a thief of peace. Philippians 4, 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving make a request known to God. Worry will short circuit God's promises, and fretting causes harm, Psalm 37, 8. And all at once here comes stress and tension, and they're wavering in their faith. James 1, 8, mm-hmm. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we need to be aware. We need to make people aware, Alexa, and how to overcome. You start praying that arsenal prayer daily, like Alexa's doing, and I'm doing, and thousands and I've given over 120,000 now. And that after ministry prayer is crucial. Learn about binding and loosing. You understand that, Alexa, right?
The binding and loosening?
Yes, Matthew 18:18, Matthew 16:19. Jesus said, whatever
exactly?
You put. Okay, whatever Jesus says. He's talking about demonic entities. Whatever you bind up in my name is bound in heaven. Whatever is loose on earth is loose in heaven. So in Matthew 12:29, he says, we're to bind up the strong man. Well, Jesus named many strong men in the Bible. A deaf and dumb spirit, Mark 9:25 and 26. Spirit of Antichrist, 1 John 4:3. Anxiety is a thief of peace. You have anxiety, you do not have peace. So let's use that. In the name of Jesus, I bind up the spirit of anxiety. Now, whatever I bind up, I say, the Lord rebuke you. Jude 9, Zechariah 3:2. The Lord rebuke you. Now, whatever you bind up of the devil, You lose what God's going to replace. I lose peace. I lose healing. This is crucial. People, just like when I had that prostate, I found out that spirit of cancer in the name of Jesus, Lord, rebuke it. I lose deliverance, healing, wholeness. And I had people, I had some lifers in Pelican Bay praying for me every day. And when the chaplain told them 7 years later, it's gone. Mel doesn't have it. They had their hands in praise and worship. Now, they'll never get out of that prison, but they have a ministry because we're all called, Matthew 20, 28, Mark 10, 45, to minister, to serve. That's what you're doing, and that's what I'm doing.
And but, what amazing thing that by doing that, by having the inmates praying for you and doing something, as I say a lot on my shows and having my guests, about paying it forward, about helping someone else, about helping someone else to heal, it so releases the anxiety, the pain, the hate,
yes,
the anger in their own hearts and sets them free. Not that everything is, there's a magic wand and everything's great and now they're all happy again, but I think it takes time. It's prayer. It's faith.
Yes.
And it's helping others and finding the integrity and the hope.
It will escalate your healing. Many years ago, I had a wife walk out of marriage. She didn't want me married anymore. She didn't want me in ministry. She didn't want me in movies. Spirit of mammon came in. You can't serve God and mammon. When money comes in, it becomes more important than anything. You're in a world of trouble. And I told, mm-hmm. I've told actors who millionaires who didn't want Jesus, I told them, you know, you all truck behind your hearse. First Timothy 6:7, we came into this world without anything. New King James says, certainly we'll take nothing out. And I was broken. And there were a couple times I didn't want to go and preach. And the Holy Spirit had put in my heart, you need to go. And one time I went to the old Union Rest Commission, and I was sick inside. And there were two young black kids that I led to the Lord. They were on drugs, and they were really getting messed up. Clean now. They're ready to go back to Chicago. They were waiting for me. They said, we just had to tell you, we'll never forget you. We love you. We thank you for all you did for us. I would have missed that. And I went in and preached a sermon. Every couple of times I choked up. And you heard the people there going, it's okay. We with you. Take your time. Mm-hmm. Well, escalate. Your healing will escalate when you're hurting, when you reach out to someone else. And like I say, there's times... God had to allow me to be broken in many ways because where I go, people need to be loved unconditionally, where someone has compassion with them, kindness and tenderness. You know, people are broken. You know, Tuesday I was at the Fred Jordan Mission, and I had like 50 people in there in their service. And I went over to County Jail, and everybody's broken. And we have people who are mentally, emotionally crippled. You see, the mind, Alexa, is the devil's playground. But the more you have the word of God in your mind, the less the enemy can bring in deception. Another strong man, demon spirit, is 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. It's called the lying, seducing, deceiving spirit of deception. And people listen to the wrong whisper. This past weekend, I was up at this federal penitentiary in Taft, California. And I had over 200 inmates in that one service. They said they never, in the history of that place, they never had that many because they advertised about the movies I did with my pictures and stuff. And I didn't talk about movies. I preached Christ Crucified, a courage and edifying, uplifting message. And you had at least 200 pray the sinner's prayer. It was awesome. But then I went to the other section. These were doctors, lawyers, bankers who made choices. We got to start making choice to pray that article prayer every day, to pray every day. Prayer to me is more powerful than atomic bomb. But if you're not praying about it, well, I feel for you because
and I agree.
Nothing for Eternal Valley ever happened unless it starts with prayer.
Yes, and I think sometimes people, as I tell a lot of my clients that I work with in private practice and at the clinic, we have this sometimes growing up this negative monologue or story that keeps playing in our head. Either there was something traumatic or just low self-esteem. And then that we allow that negative monologue to define us. And then it becomes this, it decides how we act and how we behave. And then we lose hope. Then we lose faith. And then we have doubt and anxiety. And then, well, it's never going to get any better. And we feed into it, and then they don't see a way out. And they don't see it, and they, you know, and I get a lot of times from people, well, why would God allow this? This is, you know, if he's such a great God, why would he allow this? And it's sometimes it's hard. I mean, I've grown up in the faith. I've had God has been in my life, my whole family, my whole life. So for me, God, I take his word. That's what I believe in. But I find sometimes for people who are not believers, who have not been exposed to God and to the church, they really can't comprehend it, and they sometimes grasp for what the enemy, the devil, tells them, the doubt, the fear, and they live in that. And it's so hard to kind of get them to say, well, how, there's no proof in this. How? Why would I go over here? If he wouldn't, God wouldn't allow this to happen. So then it's just like one time they don't think that they can trust in God, and it's so defeating and self-sabotaging.
Yep. Well, number one, we live in a fallen world, and evil lurks everywhere, and people don't want God in anything. They don't believe in God, and all at once they're going through, they're in the valley, a deep, dark valley, and where's God? Well, he's always there. Deuteronomy 31:6, he says, don't be afraid, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. People are rejecting him, and God gets blamed for everything. And it comes, you know, down to the mind is the devil's playground. I've said that three times now, and I'll keep saying it. 2 Corinthians 10:5, for the weapons of, well, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds need to be torn down. Without Jesus, without prayer, they will not be torn down. We're talking addictions, afflictions, whatever it is. And verse 5, casting down every thought. Every imagination that exalts us against the high knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Now, the thing, what happens in our prisons, the men's prisons and the women's, 80% never forgave themselves. See, the devil will play a tape of where we made a mistake in the past. But actually, if you confess that, you repent, God does not remember it anymore. Isaiah 43:25, Jeremiah 31:34b, I will forget your iniquities. I will put them behind me. I will remember your sins no more. It's three I wills. Where does he put them? See, forgetfulness, Micah 7:19. Psalm 102:12, as far as the east from the west. God doesn't remember them. See, the devil will keep someone, because anybody who has not forgiven himself, they carry shame on one shoulder, guilt on the other. Shame and guilt is nailed to the cross. And people will not pray for themselves. But, you know, there's so many that need inner healing, and that's the healing of the inner man, you know, the mind, the emotions, the painful memories, the dreams. But it's a process through prayer. Again, there's that word, prayer, where we could, we are to get set free from our feelings or resentments, rejection, anger, self-pity, depression, guilt, fear, sorrow, hatred, feelings of inferiority, condemnation, worthless, all these things. Inner healing is a renewing of the mind. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, Jesus left us, one of the inmates said to me, this past Tuesday, how can I get peace? Well, John 14:27, Jesus says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. But there's so many people, even as Christians that love the Lord, they feel emotionally crippled. And Jesus wants us to be completely whole, whole. And that's why I tell people, you've got to go to those scripture words and hold on to the ones like Isaiah 53:5 and 1 Peter 2:24. You know, Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. But here it is, by his stripes we're healed. By his stripes we're healed. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, psychologically, financially, morally, socially, in relationship, ministry, our walk, marriage, everything imaginable. But I like what I tell people, they want prayer. I ask them, is there anyone you have not forgiven? Because it's not going to work. Matthew 6:14-15, when you have unforgiveness in your heart, God in heaven won't forgive you. It's a barrier between God and our prayer. And they says, well,
yes,
that has nothing to do with me wanting to be healed. Yes, it does. I don't mind. I never healed anybody, but God has healed multitudes through me that I laying of hands, Mark 16:8, the anointing with oil, James 5:14. But, again, forgiveness is the key to healing.
Yeah. And praying for your enemies. And people say, oh, how could I ever pray? Even though it's not genuine in the beginning, I think, you know, I did a show with Reverend Danny Garcia a while back, and he had said something so powerful about praying for your enemies. And I said, you know, I'm gonna try that. Let me try start doing that. And you're praying for people that, you know, things that I'm anxious about or something. And it's amazing. It is so powerful. I think it's releasing the trying to control what's going on and releasing the anger, the anxiety, the resentment, the pain, and lifting it up to God and saying, you know, I'm not going to have this define me anymore. And it's forgiveness. You don't have to forget and allow that person to mistreat you again, but it's saying you're not going to have space in my heart and in my mind anymore. And it really makes a difference. It eats away at people. It's crippling emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually to have that anger and hate.
Well, Luke 6:28, Matthew 5:44, Romans 12:14 says, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute. Yeah, it's hard, but you want to get blessed? That's what you got to do. See, God blesses obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22, God desires obedience rather than sacrifice. That's part of obedience. It's a difficult one. I know when my mate walked, it took me 3 years, and yet I'm out ministering, and the Holy Spirit's constantly after me. I kept waiting to feel like. That's why Proverbs 3:5, you got to really look at that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on what? Your own understanding. See, you can't, that's where the devil will trick you up. That's your reasoning and your feelings. In all your ways acknowledge him, he shall direct your path. So, as an act of my will and obedience to you, Father, I choose to forgive this person. And I ask God to help my heart catch up to my mouth. And he did. See, Christians have chains around them that are invisible. Isaiah 9:4, God said, I will break the chains that bind my people and the whip scourges them. This is why Satan uses fear so incredibly well on his behalf. 2 Timothy 1:7, we don't serve a God of fear, but God of love, power, and a sound mind. He gets in the mind. But people hear that word cancer, they'll get paralyzed. Fear and faith can't live in the same heart. Fear will short circuit faith. And this is why I give every sermon, Luke 1:37, nothing's impossible with God, nothing's too hard, Jeremiah 32:17-27. Then God does not show partiality or favoritism. Romans 2:11, Acts 10:34. But if you have Jesus in your heart, Lord and Savior, you're the same as Billy Graham. God answers because, you know, he's a God of miracles. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. He hasn't changed. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. He hasn't changed. If you're a candidate for a miracle, you who are listening, you cannot allow any degree of doubt that I'll bring. Not least unbelief, unbelief is sin. God and unbelief and doubt will call God a liar, and God cannot lie, break a promise, or a covenant. Hebrews 6:18, Numbers 23:19, Titus 1:2. You know, time and space mean nothing to our Lord. You know, you can walk back into the past and heal where we're hurt, but we gotta want to be healed. Remember when Jesus asked that paralytic with 38 years a strange question in John 5? Do you want to be healed? I know people on Skid Row. 10, 15, 20, 25 years. They don't want to be healed. There's a drop out of existing.
Why do you think they don't want to be healed?
Fear that they will have to do something. It's like Jesus says, if that paralytic got healed, they'd pick up his cross and start serving. And they feel so bad about themselves. They don't see. I hear all over the country in prisons, well, Brother Mel, I have no worth, I have no value, I'm a failure, God doesn't love me, nobody cares, I'm in fear, I'm inadequate, I'm nothing. Those are lies in the pit of hell. Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the thoughts, the plans I have towards you. A peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I did a sermon on hope at the mission on Tuesday. And you and I have that blessed hope of Christ's appearance, Titus 2:13. And people who don't have the Lord, I can understand why they would have fear, because, you know, everybody knows John 3:16. Nobody looks at John 3:18. If you don't have the Son, you're condemned. Up at San Quentin Penitentiary, you have about 650 on death row. Two-thirds of them are saved. They said,
wow.
Well, Brother Mel, we're not home yet. That's right. We're not home yet. We have a destination, and we have an appointment with the Lord who does not break appointments, and He's coming soon. I really believe that. We need to start looking at the prophecies and understand there's over 2,000 prophecies already fulfilled. They will all be, because God's word is not returned void, Isaiah 55:11. But the thing is to desire to be healed and whole, to go out about, you know, it's amazing. I've done 25 starring, co-starring roles in movies, television, commercials. I modeled with incredibly gorgeous women. I've been to the Academy Awards 7 times. I played pro ball. And it all pales to my Skid Row prison ministry. I told the guy, I'm always jazzed when someone comes to the Lord. I get 50, I get 100, and it's like, I want more, Lord. That's my passion. Because all these things in our life will be passed. Only what we do for Jesus Christ will last. And the only thing we're going to take into eternity, you and I, and all the believers, the souls we led to Christ and the Word of God. And Jesus called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. Sometimes when you're looking for inner healing, Alexa, you can ask Jesus, like, take a spiritual eraser and wipe away those painful memories, or like, delete them, like on a computer. It's not just going into the past and digging into different details. It's just seeing how much trauma we can remember. I bind up that spirit of trauma every day, because I pray for a lot of people. I have a lot. I got a big list I lay my hands on there. And when I promise to pray for someone, I do, because you got some Christians, they'll tell you they're going to pray for you, then they get amnesia in 2 weeks. And that's not cool. You got to keep your word. But, you know, the light of the Lord, that unbelievable divine light, will just, all those dark places won't be able to come at you, because yesterday's gone, never to return. Tomorrow's not promised, Proverbs 27:1. Don't boast about tomorrow. We don't know what a day brings. I give Isaiah 43:18-19 in every sermon. And this is for everybody listening. Isaiah 43:18-19. God says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Don't go back there. And He says, behold, I will do a new thing. If there's triggers that the devil has, you've got to bind them up. You've got to come against them. It's time for you to have that freedom that we have in Jesus. Amen?
Amen. And I think so many people don't realize that the mind is such a powerful tool in a positive way, and it also can be a very negative, crippling way. And, and your thoughts and the way you're thinking and your patterns can be so crippling. And then they feel, you know, I don't want to ask for help. I should be able to do this on my own. And they see it as a weakness, or they feel that they're the only one. Something must be wrong with them, that they can't get over this. And they do it on their own. And I find so many times by coming to a therapist, going to your minister, getting a support, getting a team, is really empowering. And it's taking that step out in hope, in faith, in trust, and saying, you know, I don't know where I'm going, but this is so bad where I am, I'll go anywhere except stay where I am. And I think you have to get to that point where you don't want to stay where you are anymore, and to take that leap of faith and to speak to someone and to go out there and to reach out, and that to know that you're worth it. No matter, you know, some people say, oh, believe me, God doesn't want to see me. The church would crumble if I walked in those doors. But that's not true. God always said, you know, when I read a lot of the scriptures of that, He goes for the ones, you know, He does, you know, yes, He loves the ones that are always faithful and obedient, but He wants to go to the one that strayed. You know, like the son,
that's
that prodigal
right.
son
go,
that returned.
Right. Yeah.
He,
that's
you know, helped the least of us.
Yeah, that's the places I go. And I, every sermon I also do, I tell them, you know, we, from Adam and Eve to right here, me standing, we may have failed in something, but there are no failures. I tell them, you're not a failure. I make them say it out loud. Because God, if we fail in something, we can use it as a learning experience to move on to what God has for us. And so you wouldn't believe how many thousands of inmates told me that God allowed me to come to this prison to meet you and invite Christ in my heart. Now I understand that. See, God will use for good what the devil meant for evil. Romans 8:28 is for every believer. It's only for a believer. He works all things together for good to those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. Well, if you love him, he'll serve you. You serve him, he'll bless you. You bless you too, you're going to love him more. I mean, it's a beautiful circle. And you see people, well, that's not my thing. Well, what is your thing? Psalm 32:8 is the perfect scripture for anybody that wants direction and guidance. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. And it's important. It's important because Romans 14:10 and 12, every believer is going to stand in front of God and the heavenly host giving account of their lives after they receive Christ. Well, there's going to be some questions. How was your prayer life? How did you handle adversity? Did you serve? Did you witness? Did you forgive? Were you creative? You got people with busy tongues. Not a good thing. Psalm 141:3, keep a watch on your tongue and lips. Control and master your tongue and lips. And usually the people who are ripping other people, they feel terrible about themselves. They have to do that. It's all a deception. Yeah. You need to know that demon spirit of 1 Timothy 4:1 and 2. You got to bind that sucker up every day in the name of Jesus. The lying, seducing, deceiving spirit. You know, Alexi, you got people right now who were Christians who are walking away. And I tell them, God didn't create hell for man. Matthew 25:41. That was created for Satan and the demon, rebellious demonic entities. And they're not hiding in caves. I mean, I've been attacked on Skid Row probably, I don't know, 14, 15 times, 16 times over all those years by someone demon-possessed, never saw him, didn't know him. But darkness will see the light. With you and I, there's light inside. The Holy Spirit indwells us. And I never used karate on any of them. I just says, in the name of Jesus, I bind you up, Lord, rebuke you, be gone. One guy just dropped, got his glassy look. He looked confused, dropped that club he had, walked away. There was another guy I come real close to decking him because I ain't going to let nobody hurt me or hit me. And I bound him up in the name of Jesus. And I had this young black kid under my wing at a Fred Jordan mission. And he says, Brother Mel, I know that dude. He doesn't speak English. I said, the demon does. That's what I went after. I was a chaplain in a psychiatric ward, a county hospital. Our psychiatric wards are jammed all over the country on a waiting list because mine is the devil's playground. People need to understand that. All those negative things that was planted in our minds, it could be my mother, father, teachers, or whatever, are destructive. So destructive. Yes. And what I counsel and I ask these guys, you know, what painful feelings bother you still? Well, how do you avoid feeling this pain? How long have you avoided this pain? What obstacles remain between you and growing in Christ? And where does the strength of these obstacles come from? See, these people are afraid to make a change, to take a risk. Well, there you go with the fear. Yeah. You know, I get them to believe in themselves. And my last two testimonies, the last three of them, Ralph served 33 years. I led him to Christ in 96. And he was supposed to be in there 30 years. The system kept him another 3 years. You know, I got to him and he and his wife were together. He's working. They're in the Word every day. They pray every day. They put their arsenal for every day. They call me every 10 days, tell me they love me, praying for me, and they thank me. See, God's will is doable. But the question is, do you want to be healed? If not, why not? Is your name written in a book of life? If not, why not? Nobody's turned away. 2 Peter 3:9, 1 Timothy 2:4. Nobody. God wants all to repent. But see, there's many false... Go ahead.
You know what I find sometimes is people are so disappointed and resentful and hurt and traumatized by past pain that they almost don't want to be vulnerable enough to have hope in something or to have faith or to trust someone. So they almost sabotage themselves because they don't want to be disappointed again. And they said, well, I tried once and I was disappointed. Just because, you know, you believe in God, it's a journey. As we were talking before, sometimes what you're asking for you might not ever get. Sometimes you'll get something sort of like it, and it might take 10 years, it might take 10 days, it might take 10 minutes, but it's not about that. It's about the journey, and it's about the faith and the healing and the growth as you go along.
Yeah. I tell people, see, disappointment hits everybody. I don't know anybody who hasn't been disappointed sometime in their life. Change the D to an H. Make it his appointment and get on your knees. Because I guarantee you, right after disappointment comes discouragement. Here comes doubt. This comes in, you're in a world of trouble. Despair, despondency, disillusionment, demoralization, rejection, depression. You need to absolutely get on your knees. Prayer is so powerful. Praise evicts the forces of darkness. Praise will bring healing spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and then praise will dispel doubt. There's the killer. And everybody has a measure of faith, Romans 12:3. Everybody listening. You can't say you don't have any kind of faith. But Luke 17:5 would increase our faith. My faith in my life would increase a great deal through adversity. I've gone through a lot of stuff. But you know what? I never gave up. And I knew my Lord was going to deliver me. He's a God of deliverance. And that woman's side at the Union Rescue Mission, I did a sermon on God's I wills, and one of them was Psalm 103:3, God who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases. He's the God of the I will. I've given Psalm 107:20 probably 2,000 times. So God sent his word and healed them and saved them from their destructions. But the main one, if anybody out there listening, any tumors, nodules, growths, cancer, whatever it is, pray Matthew 15:13 every day. What Father God has not planted, he will uproot. And Exodus 23:25, I pray that one every day. It says, so shall you serve the Lord your God. I says, Lord, I'm doing that. And God says, Lord, I will bless your bread and your water. I says, Lord, you're doing that. And God says, I will take sickness in the midst of you. There's another I will. So, and all I think about is my Lord Jesus Christ took all of our infirmities on a cross. Matthew 8:17, all of them. And, you know, speaking of the I wills, I never knew why I was memorizing scripture. I'm thinking, why am I doing this? But one of the first ones I ever learned was Isaiah 41:10. God says, fear not, for I am with you, promise. Be not dismayed, for I am your God, promise. I will strengthen you, promise. Yeah, I will help you, promise. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. You got five promises, all those I wills. How will you find those if you don't spend time in the Word? God wants to bring healing, wholeness, and restoration to everybody out there. So we made you aware.
Tools.
Yes, oh yes. In the prisons, I always give Ann Skid Row, Jeremiah 30:17. I will restore health to you and heal your view wounds. Well, do you want to be healed? In Psalm 147:3, and that worked for me, it worked for others, it will work for you. God says, I will heal the brokenhearted and bind up their wounds. This is so important for you all. I love that Jeremiah 33:3, I tell the prisoners, this is God's phone number. He says, call me and I'll answer you, show you great mighty things which you don't know. In verse 6, God says, I will heal them. I will bring health and healing. I will reveal to them the abundance of mercy and truth. You got three more I wills. And this is why you need to spend time in that Word. Crucial.
And I try to tell people, what's the other option? You stay in the negativity. You stay in the doubt and the resentment. And I think people get comfortable in that. It's something they know, even though it's not healthy, but at least they can, and they kind of justify their behaviors, or they can say, well, I'm not going to get better, so I'm going to be angry. I can't get over it. I'm a lost cause. Because it's also there's a fear of stepping out, a fear of change. And I think it's so once made, that first step is the hardest, but the first step is where you'll see the growth, where you'll start to feel a difference. And I think it's just trying that first step. Just try the first step of either going for a walk, saying a prayer, asking God for help, speaking to somebody, listening to a sermon, go to a meeting, do something, but don't, because the more you isolate, the more you stay in your thoughts and that negative monologue, you're sabotaging yourself.
Isolation is brutal. That's where devil will really work on you. I see that of inmates in the hole, in the shoe up at Pelican Bay. You're in there 23 hours a day. That's why people, their minds, they crack up or they commit suicide. Now, the danger of all those things you just said, it will turn into a root of bitterness. In Hebrews 12:15, the root of bitterness will defile you, but worse, Acts 8:23 says, poisoned by bitterness, bound by iniquity. Well, what's the iniquity? Resentment, that's the fuel of pride. Resentment, hostility, anger, frustration, impatience, irrationality, foul-mouthed spirit. You go on and on and on. These are fiery darts of the devil. Please, I'm asking you out there, download the Arsenal Prayer on my website, melnovak.com. Pray it daily. Call Alexa, because I guarantee it's going to change things in your life. It is all crucial, all scriptural. You're putting on God's hedge of protection in Job 1:10. You're camping yourself with angels. I don't go anywhere without my angels. They're mentioned over 300 times in the Bible. Psalm 34:7, Psalm 91:11 and 12. When I go into the hardcore penitentiaries where I got to sign a paper, if I'm taken hostage, they don't make deals. I ask God, give me the big angels. I'm 6'2", and the angels I ask for, they're huge. But they protect me. In Isaiah 52:12, 58:8, the Lord God's my rear guard. See, you got to be prayed up, seated up, and booted up. Psalm 3:3, I love this. For you, O Lord, are my shield, my glory, the one who lifts up my head. People who are in those places where we talked about, their head is down. You're in that valley, you got to look up. Some inmates said, I'm going through hell. I said, don't stop. Keep on moving. But it's a different kind of a war. And bitterness is, I've known people, I had a relative that was so bitter, and I know it killed her. She dried up like a prune. And you see it. Like you said, they won't give it up. I'm going to be angry. I'm going to be bitter. Anger is the wrong man's righteousness, and it's destructive. I know a lot of people were angry from childhood, abused, beaten, whatnot, and they held it in. All at once, they're an adult, and somebody triggered that. One moment in time, I've met so many nice people who have 25 to life, 50 to life, because of the anger. It needs to be dealt with, both to express what you're feeling. Yeah. Go to somebody that's not going to judge you, that will pray for you.
Yeah. I think you brought up an amazing point, that you met people that are serving 25 to life, and they were pretty good people, and they had a lot of anger, and that one moment that the anger really took them to a certain place, now they're in for life because of that one moment of anger. And people don't understand, these feelings are powerful. They come out in disease. Yeah. They come out in violence. They come out in bullying, abuse. They come out in addictions. There's a reason why these things don't go away on their own. It's getting help. It's praying. Going to see a doctor. It's really, I think it's not meant for human to go through these trials and tribulations alone.
No. You got people that have been abused. They got chronic depression, fear, anxiety, sadness. They're always walking around like Dr. Doom or Donna Doom. But the pain and hurt all the time, it separates them from others. And everything, you got guilt over everything. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Jesus took your guilt on the cross. What is the matter with you? I counsel sometimes, and they just see. I get people to memorize Romans 8:1. You need to do that if you have Jesus in your heart. God says there is therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus, those walking not in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit. And once you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to sin in word, thought, or deed. That's why God gave only for the believer, 1 John 1:9. You confess that sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you that sin, cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's why we got to do the heart check. If you have people judging themselves with that concept of that mercy, and then there's always that fear of abandonment, rejection. And let me tell you, that's a painful one. When you're rejected,
yes,
abandoned, betrayed, that's a Judas spirit. And I tasted that pain. I understand that. But, and the thing for a lot of times they have that constant need for approval, and they'll latch on to somebody and smother them. Well, Acts 5:29, I need God's approval, not man's. I don't care what someone says about me anymore. Hey, 20 years ago I might have. I don't care. You say what you want. And if somebody says things about me that aren't true, I'll call them up and say Psalm 105:15, 1 Chronicles 16:22, God said, do not touch my anointed ones. Do not be harmed in my prophets. I say, you brought me harm. I forgive you. I'm going to put you on my prayer list. I gave it to God. You're in a world of trouble, and I'm hanging up. Click.
Yes, and that's more powerful than anything. I'd be scared if someone ever said that to me. I mean, it's really, it's saying, you know what, I forgive you, and I know what you've done, instead of holding it in and letting it eat you up inside.
And you got people that they take themselves so seriously, and I make people laugh, because to me, laughter is medicine. He even tells you that in the Bible. I've had them say to inmates, "Me, you funny, Brother Mel." Mm-hmm. Well, there was a guy in Florida had 999 years and 99-day sentence. I wouldn't even understand, because I've never been to prison except to preach. And I told him, "Hey, brother, be good cheer, man. You ain't going to come close to that. He's going to come back soon." I got a big smile on him. But this is what we got to do. Always to the cross. Always to the Lord. Always to the Word. And no, we got to take our eyes focused off of the world. And Colossians 3:2, think on a heavenly thing. When I tell people the mind is the devil's playground, I'm getting their attention, because they're seeing.
It hits home.
What is going on.
Yes. And
yeah,
it takes them feel like, okay, it's not just me. Because people are like, what are these thoughts I'm having? Am I crazy? And I'm like, no. This is what happens when, from your negative monologues, from abuse or anything that's happened, but then also isolation. And then sitting with it, and then just going over and over and over. It's crippling by being by yourself.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you don't want to go outside. And then you get anxiety about getting anxiety about getting anxiety. And it just then hits every area of your life.
Yeah. I've had inmates, I go into the for Max. They get a shower like every 10 days, and nobody comes there. So I do. And I get favor there. God gives me favor. And this one guy said, if I could have met you years ago, I wouldn't be here. He said, I kept getting these thoughts to go shoot my wife because I thought she was cheating on me. See, jealousy is a deep, strong man demon spirit. And after he killed his wife, he found out she wasn't cheating. It was the devil messing with his mind. And this guy never did anything in his life before that, to battle to win your mind. And he was like a short, bald, chunky guy. He didn't think he couldn't hurt a flea. And that's what happened. The mind, every time it sleeps, it should be out with bowling with the women. He thinks she's out messing around. And bam,
another story.
Guy. Oh, yeah.
And that's danger,
that's
too, to make
trap.
Sure reality, yeah, that you're really in reality,
yep,
and not let your thoughts run with you.
That's right. That's a trap. This one, he got life. And he wrote me a letter. He heard me preach up there. And he rededicated his life. And he had discontent with his church. He was an associate pastor with his wife, with everything. Goes on some retreat with other churches. He meets this other lady who has discontent with her church, her husband, and they start texting, and and emailing and talking. That's spiritual adultery.
Mm-hmm.
And finally he gets convicted by the Holy Spirit. He tells his wife, and she went ballistic, and he kills her. He said that he wrote a letter to me. He said, I robbed my children of their mother. I robbed my grandchildren of their grandmother. I robbed our friends of their friends. He said, all because you told me in Hebrews 13:5, Jesus would be content with what you have. I got out of the Word. I wasn't praying. I wasn't praying my armor on daily, which is a command. And the devil moved in, and I listened to the wrong whispers, and here I am. See,
yeah.
Choice. What would it take to satisfy your soul is the question. I asked that one, and they didn't know how to answer that. You know what? I could tell you this, anybody listening out there, no matter what circumstance, condition, situation you're in, trial, trouble, tribulation, calamity, adversity, affliction, without the Lord, you're going to really struggle and go down. And all you got to do is invite Christ in your heart. But see, we got to believe. See, Acts 16:31, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Simple, childlike faith. It's nothing to do with religion, denominations. They don't save. Acts 4:12, there's no name of the salvation of man to be saved except the name of Jesus. No other name. The only tomb empty. But you got to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. God raised from the dead, you'll be saved. Romans 10:9. Joel 2:32, Romans 10:13, Acts 2:21, whoever upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Your name's written in the book of life. The devil can't erase that out, 1 Corinthians 3:15. Your works may get burned, you still be saved through the fire. After you do that, you got to take up your cross and follow him daily in Luke 9:23.
Yeah.
And then maybe some of you have done that before. You prayed a sinner's prayer, you're backslidden. Remember, 1 John 1:9, you confess that sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you that sin, cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I can tell you this. I've led people to Christ that murdered a lot of people, but they repented. Without repentance, there is no salvation. Forgiveness is the key to healing. And every prison I go to, 1 Peter 3:9, 2 Timothy 2:4, God wants all to repent. Nobody's turned away. But you got over 5.5 billion people in the world who reject Christ. You have a spirit of Antichrist, 1 John 4:3, a deaf and dumb spirit, Mark 9:25-26, and a blind spirit, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Scales in the eyes, wax in the ears. Then you have resistance, hindrance, and delay. In Daniel 10:12-13, the angel said, Daniel, man of God, your prayer is answered immediately. Prince of Persia, help me 21 days. You got to understand, we're in a spiritual war. So if you want to receive Jesus in your heart, Lord and Savior, you repeat this prayer after me. It's very, very important for you. Today, 2 Corinthians 6:2, today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. This is the divine appointment for you for listening. Because Alexa and I, we're, the Holy Spirit leads us here. So if you want to receive Jesus in your heart or rededicate, dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. You said in your word, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead, I will be saved. I'm doing that now, so I know I am saved now. Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died for my sins, that 3 days later resurrected. Lord Jesus, I ask forgiveness of my sins, and I repent of my sins. And I thank you and praise you.
Thank you so much for being on the show tonight, Mel. Thank you. We're just about out of time, but I just wanted to thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Good night. Good night. Good night, and God bless. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening.